All right, welcome to episode 91 of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. Oh, Jesus. My name is Sojo, and I am here with Lady Buddha and Miss Think Pretty Smart. After the Being Mary Jane season 2 premiere, we decided we would just dedicate one of our regular show days to just this season premiere episode so we can kind of unravel, and I'm using the term unravel because that's what they use in Being Mary Jane, but unraveling the madness. So do we have beverages tonight? Beverage check. Lady Buddha, you got anything?
Right now I'm drinking water. I do have a cab nearby, but I'm not really, I don't know if I'm going to drink it. I just got off the treadmill, so which is kind of, which is amazing on multiple levels, but so I'm just looking at it, so I don't, we'll see.
Wait, you're an outdoor runner. How's the treadmill been for you, that transition?
Well, that's the thing, because I haven't run at all since October of 2014, and I only ran on the treadmill today because rain was on the way. So it was hard just to run, period. So I couldn't even, like, distinguish the suckage of the treadmill from reminding my body that I do, in fact, know how to run.
Right. So,
yeah, my target to really start running again is spring. So the only reason I did any of this is because I've been doing Pio the past 2.5 months, and I left my DVD at home. So I was really devastated to realize that.
Oh, but no.
Yeah, so I'm like, I can't just do nothing for the next 4 days, so I decided to run a couple of miles just to see if I still could, and I did. So
you didn't have your bacon claps.
I know. whatever. Pio doesn't have any claps, so cut that out.
Smart, you have a beverage over there?
Oh, my goodness, I certainly do. It's vodka and juice, keeping it simple.
Oh, you need vodka for this episode.
For this episode, this day, these last few days, you know, listen,
we're not judging. We are a non-judgmental partnership, me and Lady Buddha.
Right.
Y'all know the story.
Yes. Right. Okay, well, I don't have a beverage. All I have is just leftover smoothie because I just got home. But, yeah, so that's all I have tonight. But I feel like I need a splash of vodka to get into this madness. And I'm laughing because, as you guys know from our last episode, our regular listeners, that the three of us weren't planning to stay up and watch Being Mary Jane live. We were kind of trying to hold on, but, you know, all of us were like, probably not. But Miss Smart, I think you did. Did you stay up and watch it live?
Yes, I watched it live. I can't stand her.
You tried to warn us, too.
Yes, she really is, like, between her and Hannah from Girls, they are two sides of the same, like, dirty New York subway ground piss-stained coin.
With the rat feces on top.
Yes, yes, carrying Ebola. They are horrible people.
Mm-hmm. So you watched it live. I kind of saw some of the tweets, and I realized that, you know, the Twitter tide has shifted, because instead of Being Mary Jane, everybody was like, she's an unlikable bitch. I mean, everybody was on the same side. And Buddha, I think you watched it. You were finally like, okay, this is too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that I was finally like that, because I said that she did some things that were over the top last season, but this one, it was beyond even, like, it was, she was manic. Like, I really felt like they portrayed her as something seriously wrong with her,
and
more so
thing,
than last season. Like, it was different. It was actually more so.
The funny thing was that you actually missed the first scene, and you said that. Because
right.
When we went, so you said that without even seeing the first scene, which we'll talk about in a minute. But it was funny because both of you saw the episode, and y'all were talking about it. And I was like, I'll save it for this weekend. But then I was like, okay, let me start watching. I watched the first 2 minutes and said, nope, I can't. I refuse. And then Smart watched it again and started sending us WhatsApp messages at like 3 o'clock in the morning. So finally I was like, all right, I'll watch getting ready for work. And then I was like, y'all, we have to talk about this.
Well, that's how I felt, because, of course, me and Blue sitting there watching it. And we're like mouths agape. for the whole hour. Like, this, what? Just speechless.
There were no rational moments. Like,
zero.
All right, so let's get into it. First of all, the name of the episode was People in Glass Houses Shouldn't Throw Fish, which should have told us something. But the summary says, with Andre and David no longer an active part of her life, Mary Jane recommits herself to work, family, and especially to her friends. She throws a life out of context dinner party where she rekindles with Jason and Valerie. And I had to put in parentheses Jason because in the episode his name is Chris, but whatever. A happily married couple that she and David used to be couples friends with. Once Mary Jane discovers that David's new girlfriend is pregnant, it forces her to re-examine what she really wants out of life, prompting her to seek out David and unearth a shared moment from their past. Now, this description sounds all, you know, perfectly reasonable.
Right. Right.
But we get to scene one, which I name MJ the Murderer. So these scenes have titles. So we begin with her actually... a continuation of the season finale. She had just returned David's sperm to his house, where she walked off in that moment where she kisses him on the cheek and returns to her car. So we see what happened. Oh, it was on the mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, because I don't remember. Well, okay, so she kisses him on the mouth. She comes home, and we see her walk into the house, and she strips, and she starts breathing all hard. And I'm like, okay, you know, I understand that was an emotional moment. But she walks over to her pet goldfish, whose name is Starsky.
Right.
She starts talking about, you know, Starsky, are you still trying to find a hutch? You know, I'm thinking, okay, she's talking to the goldfish. I talk to my dog, you know, when I'm upset, whatever. She feeds Starsky.
Right.
She lifts up his little container and looks like she's going to, like, put him by the window to give light. But she chucks Starsky through the glass window and stands over him, breathing all hard, watching him die. Like,
see... I'm so, yeah, and yes, that was the part I missed.
You missed all that.
3 minutes after that, the first time I watched, and yeah, once you told me, then I was like, what are you talking about? And we went back and watched that. There's just no, I just can't, I don't, what is that?
Who kills their pets? Serial killers kill their pets. That's who killed just the pet.
Who looks lovingly at their pet, then turns on the pet on a dime. Ooh, she's crazy.
Serial killers do that. Serial freaking killers.
She feeds the pet. So it's not, you know, you're giving life and then say, let's go look at the birds. And when she said that, I was like, ooh, that doesn't sound like a good idea for a fish.
And the fish even kind of, I don't know if y'all really, really watched the scene, but the fish looked at us like, no.
You're doing too much right now. Right now?
No, at the end when they did the close-up on the fish was like, this bitch is crazy. Like, stop now. So this is how we start off the episode. Mm-hmm. And then we fast forward, and I feel like this is deliberate because the caption says 2 weeks later. So we see this is 2 weeks after this crazy episode. And we have the dinner party from hell. And so, like I said, I feel like they gave us that timestamp for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so MJ is reading, you know, from Walter Mosley's Life Out of Context. It's a whole bunch of talk about, you know, classism and, you know, have we really come so far, that, you know, that kind of thing. And Twitter was kind of going in on the party, saying it was a bougie Atlanta party. I don't know how y'all feel about that. Like, have you guys ever been to parties that are similar or had those types of conversations?
Yeah,
thank you. Okay.
And I grew up that way.
Hello.
I mean, when I was a little girl, my parents did stuff like that, and I was in the room.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I kind of, you know, I didn't know whether or not to feel offended or maybe just people, I don't know, because I felt like when I watched that party, that's normal.
Really normal for me.
Yeah, I was like, and it's not just a black thing. Like, even when I'm at my white friend's house, like, even how everybody kind of ended up in one part of the house when they ended up mm-hmm. in the kitchen, like, that's just, it was normal. Like, that the conversations, all of it was super normal for me. So I guess I just, you know, didn't know how y'all felt about that.
I didn't see anybody tweeting about it, but I don't really care because since I grew up that way, that's, like you said, it's just normal. Moving on. Mm-hmm.
So... Lisa brought up the point, you know, that
in our community, we had all types of people. We were skilled laborers. We were this, we were that. Mark interrupts with the comeback. You know, he's saying, let's stop acting like, you know, back in the day was a black utopia, because we still had a lot of craziness going on. MJ, you know, brings up the point about education is the reason, you know, that we're, you know, kind of going down as a society. Kara puts her little two cents in just a little bit, because she comes back a little bit later. But Valerie, who's played by Sally Richardson, so we have a new character here, you know, Valerie and Chris, the couple. Valerie says that the black church has been one of the things that has held us back, because we use it as a crutch. And Lisa, you know, says that she's up, you know, don't talk about the black church, basically. She's tired of people always bashing the black church. So Kara, you know, says, you people, because, you know, Kara is Hispanic. Right. She says, you people need to learn how to be black at home and then go out and be American and go get your money.
Go get your money.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a normal conversation, like everybody having their own opinions and, you know, just kind of vibing off ideas. You know, it was great. And then Chris, the husband, he comes in with his little sassy infrastructure speech. Not that the infrastructure part was sassy, but he reminded me of like an older version of Isaiah Washington and Love Jones, the way his neck was kind of going and, you know.
Oh, goodness.
But then we get Patrick Jr., mm-hmm. the younger brother, comes to the house to deliver some weed. So the smokers go outside, you know, to smoke with their little pens or whatever. And, you know, Patrick, I think, who was in the house with...
I haven't seen that.
I actually appreciated that these quote-unquote upstanding people, polished Negroes, took a little time on the side to do the very same things that people expect Ray Ray and them to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Go smoke up.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I haven't seen it, but I know plenty of people who did that.
Yeah, I mean,
that was just, again, that still fits into quote unquote normalcy from my experience. Mm-hmm.
The whole
there's this idea that once you get a piece of a degree, you somehow are incapable of enjoying the same types of things that quote unquote the 70% of America enjoy.
Right.
Particularly with blacks. Like, oh, because, like, I have Lady Buddha. Has a PhD. I know a lot of people with PhDs and MDs and stuff, and they still enjoy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's funny because they just look classier doing it, so people assume that it doesn't happen, but it does.
Yeah. And they did a good job last season basically saying that that was his clientele anyway.
Right, because he only caters to upscale clients, which mm-hmm. is why he's there. He came to deliver the weed to his upscale clientele.
Which speaks to something else, that you won't, one of the reasons that people with quote-unquote money don't necessarily get caught up on as many drug charges is because the weed, the coke, gets delivered. So you're not likely to be in your car transporting your high. Once you get a certain amount of money, you can call your weed man, your coke man, your heroin man, your pill man, whatever it is that you're into.
And PJ will come out to the house.
Girl, mm-hmm. delivery faster than Domino's.
Yep. And you got your private gate, which you got to punch in a number. And
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So as they're having the conversation outside, they all kind of, you know, migrate back to the kitchen. And like I said, that was totally normal how people kind of go from one room to another, but it seems like everybody always ends up in one area with this, you know, the deep conversation going on. Mm-hmm. And so as they start talking, Mary Jane goes into the example of Patrick, their older brother. And the younger brother says, you know, we don't live in the same hungry society when America was on the come up. We're tapped out of resources. He uses the phrase, no new frontiers. And basically, you know, says he wants to get a group of investors, because he's around money people, you know, to fund a lobbyist group to fund marijuana and legislation and get dispensaries and things like that. And so MJ goes into this example of Patrick saying, I forget how she starts to phrase it, but she says, you know, he's a Morehouse graduate who babysits movie trailers. And so then after PJ gives, you know, talks about the wanting them to lobby, she snaps on him and says, I would have used your ass as an example, but you're sitting here. So of course, you know, everybody's like, oh, shit, here she goes. Because, I mean, most people who know her at this point know that she has a little evil spirit. So Mark was sitting there, and it's funny, Mark's little face, and he was like, Mary Jane, come on.
Right.
And so then, she ups the ante and says something else foul, and then PJ, you know, he snaps back on her. And he says, now I see why David doesn't want you. I see why he's with that white chick, and he pretty much dips. Because when she said that she was, that's what it was. She said she was embarrassed of Patrick. And he said, that says more about you than it does about him.
That's about the place where we actually came in.
Yeah, right. And that's what she said. I would have talked about when he was. That's when she said, I would have talked about your ass.
But right. It does. And it also said, even her saying that she would have talked about him if he wasn't in the room, also speaks to who she is. Like, she just a horrible person. You know, go ahead. I can't.
Yeah. Okay, so Valerie, again, Sally Richardson's character, she tries to, you know, kind of calm things down and gives an example of what she saw on Animal Planet, where she talks about the Mandarin duck, who... Right. Basically has her ducklings, she pushes them out of the nest, and the one duckling that doesn't land safely, she leaves that duckling behind. They watch to see what she's going to do. She takes the other ducklings and leaves that other duckling as survival, you know, a survival mechanism. And what she says is sometimes you got to leave, you know, people behind to survive. So you could tell on Mary Jane's face that her reaction was going to be ugly. And of course, when she snaps, she always goes with the extra low blows.
And it was just so crazy, though, like everything about her reaction. I just didn't understand.
But wait, it goes in line with everything because she was just coddling the fish and then killed the fish.
Right. And the thing was they were trying to make it seem like, oh, well, she's drunk, so she's going to do this. Like, she has these fits when she's drunk, but she has these fits all the time. Like, it wasn't just the alcohol.
Yeah, it wasn't. Blame it on alcohol.
Can't. And then, so... Mary Jane says, I know you didn't just compare my family to ducks. And she says something about you could have at least used an example for the book. And Valerie claps back and says, we just found out about this book club party 2 days before. And she said, well, it's 100 pages. You had time to read. And
that whole thing was so over the top. That whole exchange with her with all the from the ducks to the why didn't you quote the book to the you don't have time to read when you're on the toilet. Like, I just wanted her, it was cringeworthy yet again.
And you could see it, like, Valerie was like, why did you even invite us here? And she was like, well, to keep it real, I only invited you because you're David's friends, and I just wanted to see, I mean, she...
horrible person. And, you know, when she said the thing about Valerie always mentioned her children, okay, I get that. Now, I'm fortunate enough that my friends aren't like that who have children, but if Valerie is this way and she's always, her whole excuse about everything is her kids and this and that and the other, one, maybe Valerie has bad time management skills, but two, y'all don't have shit in common. Why y'all not hanging out? Like, why, you know, I don't even know why Valerie and them even bother to come because they know she's crazy.
Yeah, that's what they were arguing about. When they said they had that argument in the car, that's exactly what they, because I bet her husband was like, why the hell are we going here anyway? You know this heifer's crazy. Like, and probably Valerie seems like she's super sweet and forgiving and almost naive in a way, and that's how MJ picks her friends, the people who she thinks is weak. So that's how they got there. You know, Valerie thinking, hey, we need to go, you know, and be polite. But Mark, again, tries to calm her down. It's like, Mary Jane, you know, but again, she's gone off the edge. So then we get the quote, of course. And the quote, you know, for this particular episode, because they're good on the quotes, is "The heart was made to be broken," Oscar Wilde. So the next scene is, well, continuation of this scene is that she has the most epic of hangovers. She loses some pounds, which... I have been there where I have drank a little too much and then found that I lost weight and was happy. I mean, that scene was funny to me when she got on the scale. But then she pissed the bed.
Right, right.
And then that's where they lost me. I was like, nope, no, not Mary Jane. So we're back at work, and she's talking about the tech come up to increase male viewers with Kara. And she uses that conversation to segue into a conversation about David still wanting her, and she's still wanting David, and she needs closure. Now, mind you, I thought in the season finale of season one, her returning to sperm was closure. Silly me.
Nope. Because she didn't answer the pivotal question. And so, allegedly, that's what she needed in order to gain closure. Who knows?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So she says she needs to know why, and then she goes back to her crazy obsessed because she thinks he wants her back. So when we did our reviews before, we talked about when she asked him, would you have married me? And he was kind of vague in the answer. He said, you know, the answer to that, and y'all were saying he could have answered. If he had answered that question, yes, I would have married you, but things are different now. Would that have been the closure that she needed? Or is Mary Jane just fucking batshit?
It would have been worse.
As I said in our WhatsApp, you can't get closure externally. And you can't, it's not fair to David for her to expect him to give her closure. Like, no matter what he would have said. Now he could have given her an answer, but she still wouldn't be satisfied because that satisfaction is not coming from her internally.
Right.
And what we find out later on in the episode, no matter what it's not even later on the episode, no matter what he said, because this even happened in season one, no matter what he said, she would find a way to pick one little piece out to hold on to.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's the thing. Because if he had said yes, that would have been licensed to her to go pursue him more aggressively.
Right.
But does she really need a license? Because she showed up to him in his boo's house during a party. So I don't,
Right. But so that was her, allegedly, that was her last hurrah. But if he had said yes, I mean, there's no reason to hold back now. I'm already chasing you through the streets of Atlanta in the middle of the night. You know, I'm already doing all this other over-the-top stuff. I'm really going to go now because if the answer would have been yes, what can I do to change your mind to make it be a yes again?
And even when she was talking to Kara, she kept saying, I know he wanted me. He didn't want to leave. So, I mean, she kept going back to when he was there, so she would have found any excuse to be close to him again. And Baller Alert, you know, I know people say stuff about Baller Alert, but it was funny because I was Googling a picture to use for this episode, and they had a picture saying, you know, when you walk away, let that be it, but it was linked to an article that they had about closure, and they said, the closure is defined as bringing to an end, a conclusion. Closure is great if you can get it, but more often than not, you will not get it the way you want it. He will not come to you on bended knee, apologetic, and begging for forgiveness, which is a lot of people's definition of closure, is that person coming back. Right. It's not to end, it's for you to get them back. And that's what she, you know, in her competitive nature wants.
Right.
But you won't get it until, I mean, closure is accepting facts.
Right. I was just about to say, it's not, you can't get it at all. You have to create it. You have to close.
Right.
But
we've been mind screwed, and as I said before, by chick lit and whatever, you know, these glossy women's magazines to think that closure comes from all these external places when the real work is, hey, let me accept that this man has moved on.
Yeah.
Right.
Because for a lot of women, closure is not moving on. Closure is getting him back. Or closure is him wanting you again. Not even you getting him back. It's just knowing that he wants you and then you walking away on your terms or whatever. That's what closure is for you.
Right.
Not
right.
You deciding that you're moving on. Because that's basically closure. When you decide, I'm done and I'm moving on.
Mm-hmm. When you close the door and walk away.
Right.
Yeah.
So the next scene is what I entitled Mama Helen's Sleeves of Liberation. And the reason that I entitled this particular scene is because of Mama Helen's muumuu that she had on with the sleeves. And I don't know if your mothers or aunties or grandmothers ever owned a colorful silk or satin muumuu with the large sleeves.
Yeah, but what I'm going to,
I mean, I don't understand what
I
mean.
I wear them around.
I have them. Yeah, I have them too. But when you are talking to a black woman who is wearing that muumuu, she is going to give you honesty and realness that you may not be ready for. So, what we have,
you are officially deemed the lounge queen when you have
that. Hello. Yes.
Yeah.
The sleeves are everything. So
I have two in my drawer right now. They're my mother's, actually. I don't have any new ones. They're hers. But
I don't own any of those.
Yeah.
I do. I have my mom's. Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked my mom when I got older, can I have that? Because she's always fly with them. But so Niecy was watching TV with Trevion's godmother, and Mama Helen sashays in with her sleeves of liberation. And she basically says, who is this chick in my house? And then, you know, Niecy's like, you know, that's Trevion's godmother. And she throws shade, first of all, that says, oh, but we never see you. Uh-huh. Then she says, you still have to be announced so Niecy can learn manners. And that's what I mean by those sleeves. Like, you will fuck around and find out you're adopted. You know what? When you try a black woman who is wearing them sleeves. But anyway, so Niecy kind of gets sassy with Mama Helen, and she's like, stop embarrassing me. And she's like, I don't have to embarrass you. You do a good job of it yourself.
Let me just stop you right there. This is when I knew Niecy was poorly raised, because as a very much an adult, you know what I will be when an old lady checks me in the street, a stranger old lady, I will be an old lady check broad standing there.
Silent.
And you think I'm going to go back and forth with my grandma?
Right.
In front of company that I didn't announce?
Hell,
the only thing you had to say was, oh my God, grandma, I'm so sorry. We didn't know you were home.
Right. My grandmother was 4'10".
Girl. And,
no, ma'am. Mm-mm. Because first of all, nobody was going to be in the house unannounced. And had that happened and she walked in the room, they would have straightened up like, I think it's time for me to go.
And that's why, you know, she was poorly raised, because when somebody has to make these statements this late in the game, they weren't properly making them from day one.
Yep. So, you know, and I was like, what's up with children being so entitled and ungrateful? And you just hit the nail on the head. Like, I mean, we got to think about it. Patrick was a heroin addict or crackhead or whatever it was he was. Mm-hmm. We don't know much about Niecy's mom, but, I mean, I'm assuming that, hey, some stuff was missing there. Some gaps were missing.
Right.
And so Mama Helen tells her to get a job, and Niecy said, well, you know I can't because, you know, the new baby is like 4 weeks old or something. And so her mom says, is this why all you young girls get pregnant to avoid working? And Mama Helen reminds me of an older MJ and some of the stuff she says, but I'm not mad at her for it. I'm like, hey, she, you know, everything she
hasn't proven herself to be a horrible person necessarily.
Right.
So I can accept it coming from her more than I can MJ, because we know MJ's dirt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although the writer in me wondered why this speech didn't happen in season one, because it was like, what suddenly ticked her off to the point where she's saying all these things, you know, grandma come lately, you know, is this why you're having a baby? Well, she could have said that when she was in the eighth month. So anyway.
Yeah. She looked healthier this episode.
She does, and so I was wondering whether maybe it's because, you know, we spent the whole first season seeing her sick and then with ups and downs. So, but anyway, that was just kind of an aside that I felt. I didn't have a problem with the content. I just wonder why now.
Well, she pretty much put Niecy out or told her she needs to go, and she said, tell that to all the folks who care on the other side of that door.
Ooh,
my
yes.
door. I mean, look,
oh,
the sleeves.
Oh, that's my favorite line.
Listen.
Oh, I wrote that down.
She took me back to The Color Purple. You sure is ugly. Like, she gave me everything.
Yeah,
in that
all
scene.
The folks that care on the other side of my door.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But here's the thing, going back to what you said, Lady Buddha,
Has she said that after child one? Because I assure you this is not the first time Niecy didn't cut a fool.
Right.
Yeah. So, right. Oh, yeah. Niecy sat.
So, hello?
Yeah, you're here.
Yeah, yeah. So, in general, this is something throughout that we slack on. You know, mm-hmm. I will accept one mistake, but the second one means that's a lifestyle you've chosen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, we often, now I'm going to put my foot down at child number 2.5. No.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you need to put it down before child one. At our high school reunion, one of the girls said, hey, my mother told me I had two choices. I come up in this house pregnant, the curb, or the clinic. Point blank. That's it. There wasn't going to be no, wait until you get pregnant and then we can discuss it. She said her mother was very clear. Very clear.
Well, and the thing is, they allowed me to. Uh-oh.
No, I'm here. You know, I was saying, and even though her mother may not have done that, she put the idea in Nicole's head that those are your two options. There is that safety net is not here. Now, I'll pay for you some college. I might even co-sign you a car. But what I'm not going to do is clean up your spilt milk.
Well, that's the thing. They allowed her to graduate without a plan. Like, mm-hmm. she didn't have to do anything.
Right.
So she had time on her hands to basically get pregnant and get pregnant again. Because even she and MJ have that conversation about the school and how she can't figure out what it is she wants to do. She was allowed to not do anything.
Wait. She had time to get pregnant and stay pregnant. It's not the getting pregnant. It's the staying pregnant.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She was allowed to do that and keep on doing it because she didn't have any other, like, even when she got pregnant with baby number one, she still didn't have a plan.
Right.
She didn't have anything.
Well, and then the baby came out and was living and breathing and, you know, everybody was hanging out at the house. So, for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that baby wasn't, you know, those weren't our twin.
And Travion's big. That's more mm-hmm. than enough time to
right.
definitely. Yeah. So right. The next scene is MJ cyber-stalking David and Anna on whatever version of Facebook they were using, and her phone goes off because she's forgotten a makeup lunch with Valerie. So,
That was incredulous silence. Go ahead.
So at this little makeup whatever where they meet at the mall, she basically, you know, she's going to apologize to Valerie, which is already late. And then she goes with this whole snarky, I'm jealous of you, you know, type deal, where she doesn't even look sincere. And you know, Valerie's trying to, and again, that's what I'm saying, she chooses women that she thinks are weaker than her, because Valerie's still wanting to forgive her. And I'm like, girl, don't you see she's, like, mocking you?
Valerie is a better broad than I would ever be. Because on my first, middle, and last name, I wish I would.
No. First of all, I wouldn't have been in her house. First of all, I wouldn't have been in her house anyway, but then let's say I was for whatever reason at the house and she pulled that bullshit. No, I'm not meeting you for shit. Mm-mm. No.
Right.
So Valerie, who thinks she's being hardcore, says, you can't have my life. Go get your own.
Go get your own, which was still a nice line, though, because she said, I have to work for mine. Go get yours.
And so then she says, I want the life you have on Instagram. So Valerie, you know, kind of says,
fucking delusional. I just have to say
that shit crazy.
So Valerie, and that's my thing. You can't see she's being snarky with you. She goes into, well, I wish you'd seen the fight we had in the car. And that's my thing. Chris was like, why the fuck are we going to this crazy-ass broad's house? That was the fight they had in the car. I know it was.
And what's up with Valerie trying to lessen her happiness or her appearance of happiness to satisfy Mary Jane's crazy.
Right. Because then Mary Jane goes completely into cray mode and goes for her real reason for meeting her and starts grilling her about how David met Anna. Basically letting her know, you know, I've been cyber stalking him and the relationship didn't spring out of nowhere because I noticed in an article, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you had an entire relationship with a married man. So let's not pretend.
But she, again, so many times, y'all, we're seeing her turn on a dime. The fish, the brother, Valerie at the house, Valerie in the store. Crazy.
Yeah. And so she wants to know what, and then she starts again. Her competitive gene is kicked in. What is it about her? And then she even guesses, is she pregnant? Is she this? Is she that? She wants to know all these questions. And Valerie's like, you know, this isn't my business. I'm trying to stay out of it. And then she goes through, you know, well, I just need to know why they move so fast. Again, like, you weren't living with a married man, but whatever. She talks about how she and David were together for 3 years, and he never suggested living together. And he's very methodical about everything. And Valerie very rationally says he didn't have a house, you know, whatever. So she continues to make Valerie uncomfortable. And then she stops and says, I have a medical question for you, because I guess now we know Valerie's a doctor. She basically tells her she pissed the bed. See?
Wait. Let me just back up a little bit. So, are there women on the cusp of 40 who don't know that their boyfriend's friends aren't their friends?
Apparently not.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but yeah, I don't know if they are delusional like Mary Jane is.
You know.
I mean, anybody who says out loud, because I know there are people who think this, I want the life you have on Facebook, I want the life you have on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
But to say it out loud, that's on level 12, as Ojo would say.
Mm-hmm. But like, y'all all right with her being like, I have a medical question. I woke up this morning and I peed in the bed.
Somebody something. I'm just glad.
This is another situation of her not being able to take the temperature of the room. Because you didn't drug this woman. And now you want to tell her you pee to bed? Like, that's the last person you probably want to talk about your bladder control issue.
It's not the last person, because she responded. Valerie said, what I'm hearing right now, you sound stressed. You
need to make it Valerie trip. Handled that so well. Wait, say it again. Say it again, Buddha.
Said, what I'm hearing right now, you sound stressed. You need a vacation.
She was so good.
And what response did Valerie get, though? More what?
She ends her with an insult because she didn't get her way, saying, well, you know that part where I said all you think about is Chris or whatever, and then she kind of flicks her hand at the fact that they're in a men's department shop. And she starts.
She was so 2 years old throughout this whole episode. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Please understand that, okay, again, I said that first of all, I wouldn't have gone to the house party. If I had gone to the house party, I wouldn't have met her out shopping. Had I met her out shopping and she pulled this shit to me and then told me she pissed the bed,
I'd have tweeted it out because I'm petty.
Thank you. Like, bitch, keep your urine in your bladder.
You know that chick that's on whatever, that anchor on such and such? Yeah, child, you know she peed a bed. She just told me. Or I would at least told y'all.
I would have been like, wet a lot. But so we end this scene with MJ back at home going through all of her and David's old texts. And again, like, that scene right there, totally normal. Okay. It's actually, hello?
You broke up. Go ahead. We end the scene at home with MJ.
Yeah, and she's going through her and David's old texts, which again is not batshit. Like, you know, we've all done was funny because I actually looked at an old cell phone. You know how when you get a new phone? Shut up.
Let's get this weight. Let's stop for a minute and let's talk about Sojo.
Let's all not. Right.
Mercury retrograde. Woo woo. What's
not
up?
Say we did. What I was trying to say.
Deflection. This is getting better and better. Ooh, it giggles. Oh,
let's put a pin in that, ladies.
I hate y'all so much. I can't even go on with the point that I was trying to make. Anyway, I'm going to go to the next scene, which is Apple Doesn't Fall Far from the Tree. And this is where, while she's going through these old texts that Niecy keeps calling her, which she saved her in her phone as a work in progress, and Niecy needs a ride from the MARTA station, which, you know, MJ goes to pick her up and she's got the kids with her. And MJ ends up agreeing to let Niecy and the kids stay with her. And I'm thinking, I know Niecy needed a way out, you know, from her whatever with Mama Helen, but MJ ain't the one because she's going to throw up whatever she does.
Niecy needs to carry her ass down to the women's shelter and see what real life is about.
Ride that MARTA train all night and then, thank you. You know. So I'm wondering how long this will last, because they have a girl bonding moment where they clown Mama Helen.
Let me just stop you right there. So, you know, my baby brother is, you know, actually over a decade younger than me. And I'm trying to think of circumstance under which we going to sit on my couch, or his son and I are going to sit on my couch, and I'm going to sit with him and clown my mama. And I can't really search and find a situation and put that puzzle together where that would happen. Because it's one thing for me and my brother to clown my mama, but your little raggedy child ass.
Well, see, that's the thing. Niecy and MJ seem like they were raised more as, because I don't know how old Patrick was when he had Niecy. But they were, it almost looks like they were raised together. Like, yeah, Niecy might have been in high school when she was in elementary and middle school, but it seems like they have a, almost like older sibling, younger sibling.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, so no, even still.
No, I'm just saying that's the kind of, like, my college roommate and her niece actually have, like, a sibling-ish relationship. Even though they are niece and, you know, auntie or whatever, but her niece isn't trifling. I'm just saying that relationship isn't necessarily uncommon.
It ain't healthy.
No, it's not. I mean, not if you've got the younger person not doing anything and you're enabling them.
Nor is it cute. It's teaching a level of disrespect, because that was a great teaching moment for Mary Jane to be like, well, you know, here are the points that you may want to consider. Even if she didn't say, look, you little dumbass, you got a roof over your head, you got three hots in a cot with you and your babies.
Look who you're talking about. She's not a teacher. She's not a teacher. Oh, she's somebody
who... You have to have the talent to be able
to... You're right.
Yeah, she's not interested in teaching her. She wants her to be indebted to her so that she can eventually bring it up to clown her about later.
Yeah, right. You're right. Let me just lower my expectations and take it back into the realm of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is the person who let the guy in at 2 a.m. And blah, blah, blah. So.
Right. But they do have a good conversation about these quick pay college programs where you get your, you know, whatever in 6 months. Versus and having epic debt, which is something Mama Helen was talking to her about, as opposed to, you know, actually going and, you know, spending more time in school for a degree that's, you know, little more cost effective. That was a good conversation that they had, and I was glad that they actually brought it up, especially since Atlanta is home of these graduate with $80,000 a debt and a seven month certificate program. So I was actually glad that they brought that up.
Along with all these other real universities.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So we go to a scene where Kara actually calls MJ, and she's trying to convince MJ to freeze her eggs on TV, and MJ's all for it because she's like, she's always wanted to do it but didn't want to pay like the $15,000 or whatever.
$40,000 check.
Yeah, so Kara was like, she can get the network to cover it, problem solved. So I think we're going to see, you know, later on this season, her freezing her eggs on national TV. But so she goes back in the room and she sees baby Isabella still awake on Niecy's chest. And she, you know, picks her up and starts singing Farrah Jacka, you know, going back to the scene, lullaby. And she accidentally butt dials David. Instead of being an adult and just saying, oops.
If we contextualize this whole thing as her, instead of being, in addition to being crazy, just being completely underdeveloped, like, you know, in one of these early stages of development, then everything she does makes total sense. It does not make total sense from someone who's supposed to be, you know, able to think abstractly.
Someone 38, 39 with a degree from Northwestern.
Right.
Like, come on. So that's how that scene ends. Basically, David knows that Mary Jane has called him and hasn't said anything. So next scene I entitled Stalker Game on Fleek. She's at work and she has Google alerts on David. And so she gets a ping from her Google alert, and gets the article on him selling his travel site for $12 million, which we already knew from season one. But as she reads the article, I guess she gets a little bit of a detail that she might have missed. And so she shows up at Chris and Valerie's house unannounced at dinner time. She's just at their house. She just shows up. Yes, she does. First mistake, they let her in. Second mistake, they take her into the kitchen where the kids are eating instead of containing the crazy in the sitting room. And her first question after they introduced her to the kids, like, she doesn't even care. The first question is about the article she read about David saying that, you know, his business increased because of new talent. And she wants to know if Anna, that's the baby's mama, was that talent. And in my mind, this is where you lead this crazy heifer to the door because you don't know if she's got weapons.
Right.
Now, Chris is giving me life because he is like, fuck this. They basically get the kids out of the room, but he's like, look, he tells the kids to leave, and then he's like, see, this is why I didn't want to have anything to do with this bitch, and I told you.
Yeah, first of all, can I just say, Blue was so mad at this scene. He's like, you come up in here while my kids are eating dinner with you. You're crazy. He was like, that was like completely the last straw. You're not messing around with the kids.
And my thing is this, like, we don't get to this when we talk about her and this baby and stealing sperm and pregnancy. You don't give a shit about kids. Because if you did, if you were ready to be a mother, you wouldn't barge up in anybody's house where the kids are sitting in the kitchen talking about some dude and his new chick. Like, no.
If you had any brought up, see, you wouldn't go to someone's house who's not really your friend unannounced.
Church.
Outside of business hours.
Synagogue, tabernacle. Preach it, Jesus. Oh my God. My precious.
She's in PJ's pre-operational stage where. Like, she can't see anything beyond her own self. Like, the way she barged in and started talking about me in the middle of dinner time. Like, that's just, you're missing some brain development here.
And she says, I need closure more than I need my pride. And again, Val wants to tell her at this point. Chris says, fuck that, and calls David. Which, I'm like, you should have done that from day one. So he calls David and says, this has got to stop because now it's at my house. Like, I was like, yes, Chris, yes. And so he basically puts MJ on the phone with David, who we don't hear him tell her, but we hear her say congratulations. So now we know that she knows that Anna is pregnant, and she walks out of their house silently. Like, you show up, you basically flash crazy, and then walk out. So she comes home to see Niecy and Patrick on the sofa, you know, talking about Mama Helen and how she needs to apologize and blah, 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 blah. She leaves right back out the door without letting them know she's there, and then she checks into a hotel, which brings us to our final scene, lullabies.
Not to the hotel. She checked into a really nice suite.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful, which, I mean, I was thinking this looks a little crazy. But, you know, whatever. So when she checks into the hotel, she takes a shower. We see her little nude silhouette. And then we see her preparing her makeup very meticulously. And she's sitting at the dinner table with wine, wearing a robe. You know, it's just all very, okay, maybe she just needed, again, a little vacation from everybody. You know, I'm thinking this is really nice. Okay. Then she blows out candles, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, she, you know, she's taking a break. But we wake up to David watching her sleep on the sofa. So then she's like.
Wait, so I was confused. Like, did she leave the door open for him? Because
that's the same question I had, Smart. Same question.
I thought maybe she left a key or something at the desk letting him know it was okay to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And so. She says, why did you come? And he says, why did you want me here?
Oh, God.
So she wants to know why he's with Anna. And then she says that he was fine, like, you know, basically blames him, says he was fine with having her think them not working out was her fault. And I was like, what? And so she wants to know why he didn't tell her. And he says, and again, we got to think back to this whole time frame. This is like a 2 to 3 week thing from her returning his sperm. He says they weren't sure she was pregnant and their actual appointment isn't until next week. Then she goes into, did you tell her to have an abortion too? And he's like, I didn't tell her, just like I didn't tell you. And then she says, you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me not to. You know, and I'm like, well, Mary Jane.
It's all about what other people say, but
It's, I mean, and again, it goes back to that communication thing. Yeah, you're now blaming him saying he told you to get an abortion when really you pulled that I'm going to get an abortion thing because you wanted him to say keep the kid. Like, that's,
So we just going to gloss over the fact that David left his supposedly pregnant girlfriend at home and came to this hotel?
Oh, that's note. I got that note.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I got that note. I'm waiting for the leg rub.
Right, because I started, okay.
Yeah, we
tell you what my reaction was.
Oh, we getting there.
So, it's on Twitter, actually.
So he says, I want this baby. And he goes into, then she says, do you want her? See, my thing is, you going back, again, this closure thing, you're trying to look for a nugget of hope. If he says, I want this baby or, you know, whatever, your follow-up question isn't, do you want her? He's obviously making a family with somebody else. Stop trying to find a way to enable your crazy. But this goes, we don't get to it again. So he talks about this child is going to be raised by two parents. And he also tells her their timing wasn't right or set up for a child. And then she's like, but it is now.
Oh, wow.
So then she says, and I think a lot of women, you know, think this point, I made that choice so I could have kids under the right circumstances, not eliminate the option altogether, which right. I thought that was a rational thought. Like, you know,
that is a rational thought, although it doesn't have to be with him.
Right. And he says, Mary Jane, you're not being punished. And I put this note here. Men do this. They give hope, then complain about not being able to get rid of a chick, and she's clearly unstable. Like, he did this knowing that she showed up at his friend's house.
He loves it. He likes it. He wants more of it.
He's still not, you know, whatever. So this was my note, and this gets to what you were saying, Smart. My note was he is not protecting his home, because if you're saying that you're building this home for you, even if it's not about Anna, you're building this home for your child, you basically have left room for like total destruction the minute you came out to that hotel.
Right.
And then he starts rubbing her leg.
Oh, God.
And kissing and cuda
rubbing
massaging.
Up in the upper thigh underneath.
But wait, he massaged her cuda.
He's setting up a crazy off between her and this other woman, and he will choose the woman that's most crazy because he will take that as she is the most passionate about me and she excites me and she loves me the most. He's part of the problem.
Meanwhile, I screamed.
You know.
I screamed. Like, I literally, I was like, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it.
I was like, get your hands off of her. Get out of there. Get out of there. Like, oh, my God.
I scream. I scream. And again, Blue was just totally disgusted. Disgusted.
It made me just angry. Because for a certain brand of man, that's how they would want to be comforted, through physical touch, let's just say. And well, so he doesn't he realizes that giving her that physical. Huh?
It's not his role to be comforting her.
No, that's the thing.
To someone else.
He keeps acting like he's doing this under the guise of making sure she's okay.
You guys are missing it. It is his job to comfort her because he has to be the savior of her. It's building his ego.
How do you explain that to the woman that you're committing to build a new life with?
You don't. You say, I made a mistake.
Okay, but here's my thing, too. Let's say that he was trying to, you know, whatever with Mary Jane. This bitch is crazy. You know this bitch is crazy. She stole your mistress with sense.
Stop it. She is not crazy. She is passionate and in love.
I hate you. And that's why, you know what? That's how Bernie's buddies get burned. You know what else? Yep. When Chris on the Insanity Chat was I don't know if y'all listened to the latest Hell No Cupid.
Uh-huh.
When he went back and revisited those text messages from that crazy girl, that was Mary Jane Paul.
Yep.
The escalation of those text messages
and apology.
And Chris had enough goddamn sense to say when she did that series of texts, he was like, I ain't never talking to her again.
Yep.
And even when she a few weeks later was like, hey, stranger, he was like, nope, bitch, nope.
And now a few months later, it's still hitting him up. And he's still maintaining his no stance, which I love.
You know what? When I watched this episode and then listened to Hell No Cupid, I was like, kudos, Chris. Like, because you could have been stalked by Mary Jane Paul. Like,
No. He is being stalked. He's just not fanning the fire.
Right. And so Mary Jane actually stops the whole coup de massage and kissing, leg rubbing, you know, whatever, and says, that was supposed to be our baby.
Oh, God.
I was over it.
Oh.
And so they hold each other, and she wakes up to a note from him that says, I'm so sorry. And that's how we end the season premiere.
I was so glad that thing was over. It was just too much.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was so...
I just, like, where can you go from here? Like, how could she ever redeem herself? Like, what can,
there are lots of things left for her to do. She's got to have a series of one-night stands. She's still got to move a broke man up into her house. I mean, there are lots of things she can do.
Shaza from A Different World is going to be coming on the show as her new boo, so something crazy is going to happen with that, because, you know, she always, you know, and I wonder if she's going to, you know how we said when Wayne Brady's character came on, if he at last did, she'd transfer that crazy over to him.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if she's going to transfer that crazy over to Shaza. So
I wonder if they're going to do something stereotypical, like have her date a woman for a while.
Oh, hell. Well, let's talk about predictions. So we see... We've seen the season 2 premiere. I know y'all haven't looked at some of the preview things, but they talked about, you know, and I told y'all season 1, they talked about reflections, that things are not always going to be what they seem with the people. So now that we've seen this, what predictions do you have? Like, where do we go from here?
Down, we take a left on Crazy Lane. You know, just we turn off a crazy boulevard, hit Crazy Lane, then make at the crazy central circle, we take the third exit off into the fuck.
We gonna end up at the fuck.
Yes, that's where we're going to end up. Yeah.
I mean, y'all, I don't know where we go. Like, I feel like because her crazy, like, you know, I know, Buddha, you, I always joke with you about these levels.
Right. Well, that's how I started off. That was my initial comment in WhatsApp. Like, we kept saying she was on level 12 last season, but I'm like, they started off so far beyond anything that happened last season that where can you go? There's nowhere to go but down.
They started the show with pet murder. Like, I don't know.
She has to spiral down. Like, she can't go up from here, and we can't see her sustain this level of manic whatever.
So, you know what they're not going to do is they're not going to hospitalize her ass, which is what she needs.
Yeah.
I don't know what she needs. I just know that this is, it was just too much.
Is it insurance?
Hmm?
I said at least some regular therapy sessions, because I know she has good insurance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wonder if they're going to have her talk to someone. I honestly wonder, because I feel like, I mean, I don't know, like, you know how Shonda kind of goes, like, completely batshit left with her storylines, too? Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're going to compete with the Shonda crazy, or if they're actually going to bring this back down to some type of reality and say, look, Mary J. Like, they mentioned the vacation. You know, I wonder if they're gonna actually have her talk to somebody, because I can't see her doing anything more that would shock me besides kill Anna or the pregnant child. Like, I can't see anything.
But I told you, she's still gotta have one night stands and move a broke man into her house. Those are
definitely be shocking.
Well, right. It wouldn't be shocking, but we got to tick off all the necessary crazy broad things.
Well, I don't know, y'all. I don't know. But I'm glad that we finally got together to talk about it, because it's one thing to like keep texting back and forth, but I was like, y'all, we got to talk about this. Like, I mean, I had to get it off my chest because I was just like, ugh. And I know, like, for the people who listen to us, because some people are expecting us to do regular reviews. We said we weren't going to do week by week reviews. We're just kind of maybe sometimes let episodes build up and then talk. But after this season premiere, we had to do this one. So,
One more thing. If they can, in that opening or in the dinner party scene, if they can talk about what ails the Black community, I feel like the next step in that community service would be for her to address her mental health issue, because they really haven't addressed it with the girlfriend who committed suicide.
Oh, wait. Now, they are going to address Lisa's depression. They did say that they were going to do that, which makes me wonder if maybe she'll get a referral to Lisa's person through that. Maybe that's how they'll work that in. Something, I feel like we need something rational, because I can't do this for a whole season. really, we're done. I'm like still, I'm still empty. I have nothing left to give.
Well, her fish found a better home when she flushed it down the toilet, whatever. Maybe it was able to get some breath and, you know, come back. I don't know.
I just needed for them to have a disclaimer that said no fish were harmed during the filming of the episode, because I was still concerned about it. Like if y'all really go back and look at that fish shot, the fish was like, how did I get here? Like, for real.
How did we get here?
Well, we could go ahead and, you know, give our sign-off information. I don't have cheers. Do y'all have cheers or anything like that?
I do.
Okay, go ahead, Lady Buddha.
Go ahead, Buddha.
I just want to give cheers to Roxane Gay, who was nominated for two NAACP Image Awards, one for nonfiction and one for fiction. I read both of those books, and she did not win, which I find impossible to believe. But at any rate, she's a great writer. I really enjoy following her on Twitter. I like the way she thinks. I like the way she communicates what she's thinking. So just cheers to Roxane Gay.
And where could they find you?
You find me on Twitter, sometimes a lot, sometimes not at all, at harp, H-A-R-P, like the instrument, or on my blog, Coco Studio, C-O-C-O Studio, singular, CocoStudio.com. Miss Smart?
I actually changed my mind about my cheer, so I don't have any, but you can find me on Twitter at think_P_smart. If you have any comments, concerns, or questions about anything that we've said here, or I've said here, feel free to hit me up on the Twitter, and don't forget to give us a 5-star review and yada, yada, yada. So, Joe.
Actually, I said I didn't have cheers, but my cheers really is to Chris from the Insanity Check for avoiding crazy. Like, and you know, check out his podcast, The Insanity Check, and definitely check out the Hell No Cupid Chronicles, because they are, you know, like he said, black men talking about their emotions and what they go through in the dating world, which is pretty cool to hear, you know, from a male perspective. But seriously, cheers to Chris for avoiding that girl and those manic texts, because, dude, you could have been David.
So is it foul? Wait, is it foul for me to kind of want him to call her back for just the sake of the show?
Yes.
You know what? Yes. See, yes, we care about Chris. We want better for Chris.
Okay, we don't want her wearing the stories. We don't want her wearing skin. I know.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, he might decide to stick her on you in retaliation.
Right? Well, let's not play these games.
But you guys can find me on Twitter at SOJOXOXO. That's SOJOXOXO. And then the blog that I'm promoting for Black History Month is my Black is Beautiful Tumblr, which is blkis-beautiful.tumblr.com. That's blkis-beautiful.tumblr.com. You guys can
find us collectively at Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. You can actually Google Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine, and you'll see our iTunes, Podomatic, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff pop up, but we are at whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. We usually record once a week, and you guys can find our episodes there. And please leave us a 5-star review, and we'll read it right on air. But we will see you guys next time. Thanks for joining us on our roller coaster ride with Mary Jane. Cheers.
Cheers. Share the show.
Excuse me. 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 Excuse me.